Welcome to Uncomfortable, where real conversation meets unwavering faith. Hosted by Kirk and Vince, this podcast dives into the tough topics, the ones the church often avoids, the ones that make us wrestle with our faith, the ones that challenge us to grow. We're not here to stir up division. Our heart is to encourage, to uplift, and to press into the gospel with boldness. Because growth happens in discomfort. Faith deepens when we're willing to face the hard questions. So let's lean in. Let's explore. Let's learn. Let's walk this journey together. This is Uncomfortable. Ready to shake up the conversation? Let's get started. Welcome back to another Uncomfortable. I'm Kirk, joined by Vince. And today we're going to really dig deep into a very uncomfortable topic. And that is, what would Jesus do helping others when you've been burned? Vince, I think you and I both have had moments of our life where we have felt so burned by other people, you know, taken advantage of when we've either given money, given our time, or, I mean, there's a whole list of things that we could probably put there, right? But in that particular scenario, you're jaded. I mean, it could even be that there's someone that's desperately in need. They may be homeless, or they may have lost a family member, or fill in the blank. And when they come to you and ask for help, because of your being jaded, because of the things you've had happen in the past, that stained glass window, so to speak, like we've talked about, you know, in other episodes of our life, that changes our perspective, because our vision is tainted, we react in a way that's not necessarily Christ-like many times. It doesn't mean that we're not supposed to use wisdom in everything that we put our hands to. But could it be that sometimes, Vince, that we allow ourselves to be so jaded by those past interactions that we don't act in a way that's becoming to Christ?
I would definitely have to agree and say that it is a very big deal, at least for some of us. Some people, they don't have an issue. They just keep going, knowing that that's what God told them to do, and they just seem to have this grace inside them that allows them to do it. But I know for some of us, and some that may listen that are more like you and I, Kirk, you get burned enough times, and you're like, just not going to put my hand in the fire anymore. And so you do that, but it at what cost, right? Everything costs you something. You do something good, it costs you something. You do something bad, it costs you something. So what's the cost? What are you having something outweigh the other? I know even recently the Lord has talked to me about some things, and man, I'm telling you, forgiveness is, it's an easy thing to tell someone to do. It is a hard road to walk out sometimes. And so I think the hard part is we don't take every person as an individual after a while. When someone comes and asks for help and we see that their stories may be similar to someone else that burned us, we stop listening and we just wait for the end and we're like, no, I can't help you.
I think it's almost like we're waiting to be hurt or burned or, you know, taken advantage of again, right? It's like that instant instinct or that reflex reaction, that knee-jerk reaction where we're like, you know what? No, I got hurt before. I'm not letting someone hurt me again.
Yeah.
And it's sad that it's not even something that's really supposed to be hurting you. You know, because the reality is let's just say, for example, we're walking down the street. You and I have both lived in Dallas at one point, you know, when we were in Christ for the Nations.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of folks there that are unfortunately homeless. And there's some of them that are charlatans. Others are truly in need. You know, they really need help. And let's just say you walk across someone that really needs that help, right? Well, in that scenario, because of a past situation, you might let the hurt stop you from giving help to that other individual. Now, it is not wrong to use wisdom in all that we put our hands to. But is it right to withhold from the one person that truly needs just because of the fear of being taken advantage of? Question is, should we not go in with the attitude, Vince, that says, you know what? I'm giving like I'm giving unto the Lord. I'm going to give this over, and at that point, it's between them and God what they do with this money. The burden's completely off of me. And I know that you and I are a lot alike in this, to where a lot of times we'll have a hard time letting go of what we've seen in the past because we overanalyze it, we think about it, and we're sitting there trying to figure out how do we prevent ourselves from being taken advantage of again. I want to be a good steward of what I've been given. But at the same time, there's a point where we have to calm down, take a step back, and say, is this about me, or is this about Christ?
Yeah, no, that's... Kirk, you're stepping on my feelings. So now I know for both of us, even before we started to do this, when we had said, we had both echoed the fact that this one was going to be a hard one for us, but that's the whole reason for the show, right? To have the uncomfortable conversations. For some people, this might not be that hard of a thing. And they're like, well, I don't understand why you guys are struggling with it. But
I would say that those individuals most likely are the mercy and grace people.
I would probably lean to that, or they just haven't been burned that much. So,
I would agree.
You know,
and that's not a bad
thing. It is important to continue to forgive. And it is important to continue to do things according to what the Lord wants us to do and all of that. And I myself have been challenged at that recently about, I remember I forget where I was, but I was like, well, I'm not going to give any money to this because I know they misuse the money. And God said, but what if I told you to give the money? And I was like, yeah, but God, that'd be kind of hard to do because they misuse it and they're not going to use it for the reasons maybe they're even saying. And he said, okay, but what if I told you to give the money? Said, well, I guess I would have to give it. And he said, but you're giving it with a grudging heart. And I was like, well, yeah, because I know they're not going to do it right with the money. And he said, that's not your problem. Basically what you had said, he's mm-hmm. like, that's not your problem. He's like, I will deal with them in the way that I need to deal with them. Your responsibility is just to do what I have asked of you to do.
You know, that goes right back to being ambassadors for him, right? Because as ambassadors, we're ones under authority. And as ones under authority, we report to one with greater authority. And when the one that has greater authority puts a demand on us, we're supposed to respond in obedience. We're not supposed to buck. We're not supposed to cuss. We're not supposed to complain. We're supposed to comply. Which a lot of us feel like when we comply, we're bending over and just acquiescing and not even thinking twice about it. But the reality is when it's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that's saying, son or daughter, I need you to be generous. It's not about what you want. It could even be, you know, Holy Spirit may say, I want you to move across the country.
Well,
you know, and I know that's a little off topic, but it's the same thing. We're not putting things in perspective because we allow ourselves to be jaded because of what someone does to us, right? But if Holy Spirit says, I need you to move across the country, we're ready to do that.
I agree. I think it's the same measure of trust and faith in him. I mean, listen, there's some people, there's a specific Walmart we go to, and there's a lot of times where, recently it's been a little different, but there's a lot of times where there's people that will walk up to me in the parking lot and will try to give me this sob story about this and that and ask for money and, you know, oh, I'm so hungry and my kids are hungry. And matter of fact, I have a situation about a year ago where so some people from where my wife works had given me some cash and asked me to buy some candy and had or and some snacks, right? For some event they were having. So I got a big bag of candy and I got some different snacks for them. And I was like, no problem. And then I bought some like groceries, some bananas, some fruit, and a couple things for the house, right? So use their cash to buy that, use my money to buy that. I get to my van and I'm putting everything in, and person comes up, give me the story how they're hungry. I was like, well, really don't have a whole lot. I mean, I can give you stuff out of what I got here. And the lady looks over and she goes, well, we'll take that bag of candy. I'm like, wait, I thought she was hungry. What? I said, well, that's not mine. I bought that with someone else's money for something else. I was like, but out of my stuff, I can. I was like, here, I'll give you a bag with bananas and fruit and whatever else we got in it. And they're like, no, that's okay. I'm like, well, I guess you're not really that hungry then.
Well, see, in my opinion, that's a great test to see what someone's heart really is.
Yeah.
You know, there's been several times when my wife and I have been approached, especially when we were back in Tennessee, someone says, hey, can I get some money? We're like, hey, can't give you any money, but I can go grab you a hamburger.
Right.
I'll bring it to you. If you just hang tight for about 5 minutes, I'll be right back. 9 times out of 10, people normally are like, no, I just want the money. And that's a red flag to me. You know, now if they turn around and say, you know what, thank you, I'll be right here waiting, I go grab my burger without even thinking about it. But
yeah, I've had those situations too.
Let's throw a twist into this though, Vince.
Oh.
I like to throw twists into things and really make it uncomfortable. So what
are we already uncomfortable?
Oh, absolutely. What happens though if the person that's in need of help is from a lifestyle you're not comfortable with, from a demographic you have a prejudice against, or from a nation that you hate?
Ooh, there you go. Well, I will tell you this. I had a situation, again, same Walmart. Guy walks up to me, and it's Gina and I were in the store. This is a number of years ago. And I don't know his specific lifestyle and what he participated in. He was an older gentleman. And he asked for some help. And he's like, just X amount of money worth of food. He's like, you know, just put it in the basket and you know, like, just please help, anything. So we're like, yeah, sure. And so I gave the guy a limit, and he went and got some stuff, and he had a couple extra things in there. And he said, so I figured it out. It would cut. And I think it was like $3 over the limit I gave him. And I was like, no, that's fine. It's like, matter of fact, why don't you get a second thing of that meat? Because he had gotten some lunch meat. And I was like, why don't you get some like meat? And like Gina and I were talking about it. And she's like, if he comes back with this, then we know he means it. And we'll just bless him and get him extra. If he comes back with this, this, and this, then we know he's just trying to game the system, right? And so he did. He came back genuinely with stuff that could help last him a while, you know, peanut butter and bread and like things that could help feed you when you don't have a lot, and they could feed you for a little bit longer. So we did, we blessed him, we gave him some extra and all of that. And then when we left, you know, we gave him his groceries. We're pulling out of the parking lot. We saw that he was just sitting there. And so we pulled up and we asked him what's going on. And we ended up giving him a ride home and bringing him to his house. And where he lived, I knew from conversations I've had with people that where he lived was not the greatest place. And most people that lived in there came from, were living there because of they had been away for a while.
Been away for a while.
Yes. So, alternate but now they were
away or.
Huh?
Alternate lifestyle away or homeless?
Not alternate lifestyle. I mean, they made some mistakes in life, and now they're, you know, they paid a debt, and now they're trying to live better. Ah. Hopefully live better. So I personally, look, it's hard for me to be, to tell someone no because an alternative lifestyle, if they're actually in need of help. Things like that don't typically stop me it's the games. It's the ones who try to con people. That's what typically stops me. And if I begin to hear a similar story, then I'm like, I don't even want to hear your story, even if you genuinely need help.
Right.
But
Because you're afraid they're
if
going to play the
you're
game.
right, especially if it starts out a certain way, then I really don't care what your specific affiliation with anything is. If I feel like you're trying to game me, then
Yeah, all
I'm not
bets are
gonna
off.
listen. Yeah. But I hear what you're saying though, and that is for some people, that is a big deal.
Well, I
They'll
think
help.
sometimes it plays right into what you're talking about, though, because of
Yeah.
their experiences. You know, they directly relate those particular things, you know, whether it be race, whether it could be ethnic, whether it's a country, you know, or whatever lifestyle, you know, they relate those things to things that have hurt them in the past. And they can't get past it. You know, for them, it's like a no-go. But I agree with you. We should be led by the Holy Spirit and not let those things get in the way. It doesn't mean that we're not going to battle and war against that not affecting our judgment. What it does mean is that we have to be proactive in taking a stance for Him, for the Lord, that is, right? So the word talks about in Luke 15 how Jesus chases after the lost sheep. Right?
Yeah.
So we have to not be ones that are selective fishing.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a very, very dangerous place to be, if you know what I mean. Because
yeah.
a selective fisherman only likes to fish for the thing that he wants. If he wants a bass, he's only fishing for bass. He throws everything back or he'll cut it up as bait. Jesus didn't call us to use what we catch as bait. He didn't call us to selectively pick and throw back. He says, go and compel those in the byways and highways to come into my banquet hall. Right? Now let's go to verse 1 through 7. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you the truth. In the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who did not need to repent. Think about that, my friend. You know,
Well, I mean, it follows along the same line as when Jesus said that the healthy don't need a doctor, the sick do.
that's exactly right.
So, I mean, I get it. It doesn't make it easy to deal with, but I get it. But I mean, so it's, there's there again, I go back to there's got to be this balance, right? We Even though we've been hurt, and even though, especially you and I have talked about this, we lean more towards like no than yes, we still have to, it goes back to, again, actively working on your relationship with Jesus so that your ears and your heart are tuned to hear Holy Spirit so that when he speaks, you're willing to listen. Which leads to the word again. I don't know that we've specifically said this in a while, but it's discernment, right? Learning to discern between if it's the Spirit of God or if it's the enemy, and learning to discern if someone has genuine intentions or if they're trying to run a con. And I mean, you can use there's a couple things that come to mind. Of course, there's the be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Some versions say shrewd, which is a little bit different connotation than the word wise. But also Proverbs 14:15 says the simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. So I can't remember the synonym for prudent at the moment, but it basically means that our responsibility is to it has to do with wisdom and hearing the Lord and paying attention to what he's saying and not what oh, there it is. Sorry, I was waiting for it to come up. It prudent means careful or cautious or sensible, right? So or wise as well. But it's our responsibility to try to follow the word in the scripture, and as we consume it, we get wiser in the Lord, not in the ways of the world, and we are able to discern. But then there's times I'm really starting to believe there's times that even if we know it's they're selling us a load, if God says to give anyway, then we're supposed to give because we have to be obedient.
I think sometimes it could even be a test of our faith.
Yeah.
You know, Galatians 6, 9 through 10 tells us that we're not supposed to get weary in doing well. You know,
Now you're stepping on toes.
I
What are you
know.
doing?
And it even goes on to say, especially those who are of the family of believers. So it says, don't be weary in doing well, you know, to all people. Then it goes also, especially those are of the family of believers. And what happens a lot of times, we're real quick to go give to the poor, the homeless, the widow, the child that has a need. But, well, they're a believer. They need to have faith for themselves. God, you need to bring something. Well, maybe God's asking you to be the supply for their need. You know, maybe they do have
Man.
faith and he's asking you and you're the one that's being stubborn. I know it's a little
Ouch.
uncomfortable, but that's the reality. And sometimes it happens to even Vince and me. He'll say, "Hey, I want you to go give that person some money." And we're like, "But Lord, I planned on buying myself, you know, a replacement pair of socks. I have holes in
But
my socks." And the Lord's like, "No one sees your socks, son. You know, go do what I'm asking you to do."
Yeah.
You know, we're so worried about what people think, and God's more concerned about are you obedient? Think about that. It's not, and the thing is we're like, but I've got to have on the best. You know, some people might even say, I'm from the Word of Faith movement. Oh, that's great. I have faith too. But I also know if God says do it, it's better to be obedient and not have the appearance and have the spiritual righteousness that he's asking for than to have the appearance and be in disobedience. So that's a very sticky place to be. You know, I would much prefer to be obedient to the Lord than to have the appearance of everything being okay.
Yeah, that's man. Kirk, now I just want to go curl up on in the corner
That's
and have
okay.
to repent.
Let's think about some of these challenges here, right, Vince?
Cool.
Some challenges that people may be facing that hold them back. You and I have seen some of these barriers in our own life that we've had to ask the Holy Spirit to work with us on. Past betrayal, which makes trusting others harder. Discomfort with a certain lifestyle or sin. The human pull towards self-protection. The tension between healthy boundaries and the call to love. And let's talk about boundaries for a second. The
And you're
easiest
just
boundary,
stepping on every toe.
the easiest boundary that we can think of is like proximity.
Yeah.
We've all had a friend that we love that doesn't know proper boundaries. And
Yeah.
I mean, in college, they made us study. I forget which class it was, Vince, but we talked about boundaries and the comfort levels that people had. I think it was our sociology class. And
Maybe.
we discussed how within so many feet of a person, you're comfortable, but the closer you get, the more uncomfortable most people feel.
Yeah. Start getting anxious and
And
yep.
normally, right at 2 to 3 feet, most people are like, "You're close enough. If you're not
That's
my
like that bubble.
girl or my kids, you need to step back."
Yeah.
But we've all had that friend that they're friends, but they don't get 1 foot They don't get 3 feet. They don't get 2 feet. They're within 1 to 6 inches in less than 2.4 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you love them and you don't want to hurt their feelings, but you're like, you're in my space, dude. You really need to move. You know,
what's worse is when you move, then they move closer to you still.
Exactly.
They move with you and you're like, oi, come on.
Yeah, and it's like, what's going on? But here's the reality. Those boundaries are not always that physical bubble. Sometimes right. The boundaries are asking uncomfortable questions, asking for money when you yourself don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when you and I were at Christ for the Nations, one of the things that blessed the socks off of me is when we'd go and take turkeys and dinners to folks in the projects around Thanksgiving and Christmas. And that was a stretch because sometimes you get really out of your comfort zone real quick.
Yeah.
But you had to learn to remove your boundaries because some of those folks had no boundaries. You know, it's kind of like if you go and start talking to someone that's homeless, you need to get rid of your boundaries because they probably stink.
Mm-hmm.
They may smell like booze or weed or smoke or...
And eat, not clean.
Urine, whatever. The thing is, are you called to minister to them and you know, touch their lives for Christ? And if so, that boundary level is going to have to change a little bit so that you can minister to them. That doesn't mean you have to let them, you know, rub all over you and, you know, do inappropriate things. That's not what that means at all. What it does mean is you may not have, you can't allow that comfort level of the smell or whatever it is to dictate how you handle yourself around that person. You're supposed to act in love. What if it was your child? Oh, I'd love him anyway.
No, my pastor and his wife do that. They work with some different homeless ministries here and there, and they'll do outreaches and man, their stories. I love hearing their stories. It's not something I'm do specifically. I have gone with people and done homeless ministry before and given out food and, you know, bought sweaters and stuff when it's getting cold for people, but not the way they do. They just, man, they just go all out and
they become the hands challenging. And feet.
Huh?
They become the hands and feet.
Right. And it's a challenge for me every time, although I'm encouraged and excited when I hear their stories and testimony, it's also a huge challenge for me. Because I have to challenge myself to get out of that comfort zone that I've built. And that's so, you know, we talk about, I mean, the name of the show is Uncomfortable. We talk about living our life uncomfortably. But the truth is, if we're not careful, we'll just like, okay, well, this will be the one thing I get uncomfortable with. And we'll just relegate it to that one little area. When the truth is, we have to constantly be working on every area and try to be uncomfortable at least a little bit. I mean, and I get it. I know what people are saying. Man, I need a break. I can't be uncomfortable all the time. And well, that's why you have your home or whatever that place is for you that you should be able to go to and spend that time with the Lord. Hey, for some people, it's the gym. They put their headphones on. They start working out. They start talking to Jesus and they're good. It's like everybody around them just doesn't exist. And some people it's the car, some people it's the house, some people they like to garden, you know, they like to get down there and plant flowers and
let's stuff. Just be reality. There's uncomfort even in the rest.
That's true.
Because if you're doing what you're supposed to do, you're gonna have some discomfort. It doesn't mean you don't rest. It doesn't mean you don't take care of yourself, but it means there's gonna be some discomfort. It's just kinda like when we go to the gym, we work out, when we come home, that's the comfort time, but the reality is there's some soreness. Now that's a good sore,
right?
From working out, right? But here's the flip side. If you didn't do the hard work in the gym, you've got the hard consequences later in life. So you pick your difficult, right? You pick what's hard pick the hard workout so that later on you don't have to live the hard life. Right.
Which is what I'm dealing with right now.
You know, and you're doing a great job of changing that too.
Right.
So you've made some incredible progress.
I mean, you always have to, and that to me, that kind of tells the story that it's never too late to start trying to better and change that. And that doesn't just go with physical, that's everything. That's with working with homeless and giving to those in need and trusting when the Lord tells you to give, even if you don't want to, or you're like, man, Lord, I really wanted to go get me those pair of sneakers. I mean, mine are fine, but I really like these sneakers and they're really fly and they're going to go with my outfit. And the next thing you know, he's like, okay, I want you to do that. And I want you to take that money and I want you to go do this for somebody.
There you go.
Or even this, I want you to go buy two pairs of sneakers with that one, that money you were going to buy one pair with. And I want you to give them to these two people. Oh Lord. Okay. Listen, hold up. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem buying them sneakers, but do you know what they did to me? Or do you know who they are? Do you know they're going to ruin them sneakers anyway? They're going to be no good in like a week.
Bro, that's no different than I used to feel about some of my sons, because it would be, we'd buy them a pair of jeans and 2 days later, they'd have holes in them. And they were not the ones that you buy with holes already in them.
Yeah.
And literally we would, my wife and I would look at each other and say, why are we buying them new clothes? Of course we're going to, right? But we're like, why do we buy them new clothes when literally the next day there's holes? Now, there's one particular son that was always guilty of it. The other one sometimes. But the one, inevitably you bought him clothes and there was holes almost instantly because he was so rough on his clothes. But same flip side to that is, does it matter what the other person did? We're supposed to love our neighbor like ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Ouch. So what's Jesus's model for this uncomfortable topic?
Yeah, right? I'd like to know. Go for it.
So first of all, see the person, not the label, right? Let's think about the woman caught in adultery. Jesus had the opportunity to see a Samaritan woman, which the Jews hated. He also had a chance to see an adulteress, which the Jews also hated and would also put to death. But instead, he chose to see a woman in need that needed salvation. He chose to see the need and fulfill the need to restore her back to peace and lead her to salvation to change her life. Now, the next would be to balance grace and truth. We need to show compassion without approving of the sin. That's exactly what Christ did at the well. He never approved of anything the woman did. But in everything he did, he brought her right back to where she needed to be to find grace, mercy, and salvation. We need to look at the mission. We shouldn't let personal risk stop the ministry of Christ that we're supposed to be doing for others, right? We're supposed to be reaching the world with the gospel. And we're supposed to be engaged without compromise. He didn't just lower his standards to show love. He loved us in spite of the situations that we were all in. And we need to do the same for others. We shouldn't be trying to lower standard or lower the quality or whatever else just because we don't trust. No, we're supposed to say, okay, if Jesus is asking me to get him shoes or get him a Happy Meal or fill in the blank, I need to go do what Jesus said to do.
It makes me think of there's a guy, and I kind of grabbed it, and I say it a lot now, but remember there's some older guys that used to say, well, suck it up, buttercup.
Oh, my dad said that all the time. Oh, yeah. Well,
you know, I would have to say this. So I'd leave this as, I know we're getting close to wrapping up here, and so I'd leave this as my closing thoughts, right? The random musing. No, I'm just so closing challenge, closing thoughts in my head for anyone that hears this whenever is this. So we've talked about learning to walk in forgiveness, learning to walk in discernment, and continue to help those, right? So we need to work on forgiving quickly, which, ow, that hurts. I struggle even with that now. Guard wisely and help prayerfully. And remember that we need to let every single act of service needs to be guided by the Spirit of the Lord, because otherwise all it is just your own work. Be fueled by his love and be protected by his wisdom.
Man, you almost stole all my thunder, brother.
Hey, every now and again, I got to, because you get all the good ones.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, I was going to give you a few practical steps, and I may repeat a couple. Just
go for it.
Just the way it goes, you know, because I'm just going to look through my notes here. All right. First of all, pray for discernment before you step in. Right?
Amen.
Set healthy boundaries. You know, help mm-hmm. doesn't mean you're enabling the person, but it means you're reaching out in love. Be wise and open-hearted, right?
Ooh.
Awareness without cynicism. Then see the God-given potential that's in that person. Don't look at the outside. Look at the heart that's within. And that's what Jesus did with you. Then stand firm in truth while showing compassion. And finally, forgive past wrongs, even if trust takes time to rebuild.
Man.
That seems like it's talking to all of us right there.
That's just painful.
Man. So, you know, guys, all of us have been through situations in our life where we've allowed the way people have treated us to affect the way we treat others. You know, it could be someone in grade school that, you know, cheated you. It could be that easy. You may have had several people because you were so graceful and merciful as a child that you allowed yourself to kind of be walled off. I know that happened to me a lot when I was younger, and I grew like walls. I threw walls up and said, you know what? People aren't going to take advantage of me anymore. Mm. And I know that's an area that I've worked on for a long time. And Holy Spirit, thank God, has been working on me and working with compassion and restoring a lot of that grace and mercy. But that's an area where we have to chase after the presence of God, trust that he'll restore those things and heal those wounds, and allow his grace and mercy to flow through us in those times of need that others have. Now, guys, I encourage you to pray over your life, over any past hurts. You know, Vince, let's do this. Let's go ahead and just pray for our audience real quick.
You want to do it, or you want me to do it?
Either way, man. I mean, I'm good either way. Do you feel it, or?
Well, I was looking at some of my notes, and something's kind of brewing a little bit.
That's why I thought, since you were asking. So if you feel like you've got a prayer brewing, go right ahead, brother.
Yeah, and you can always follow up too as well. So, well, Father, we just ask for ourselves and for the audience and people that hear this, that you would help to heal the wounds that we have had from being mistreated and misused, abused, especially in this specific area that we've talked about tonight. Teach us and help us to forgive the way that you do, to help the way that you do, and to set the same kind of boundaries that you set. Lord, help us to walk in your kindness and your truth. Help us to walk in the same grace that you did. And even at the worst of what you experienced, you said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. So help us to walk in that same kind of love, grace, and wisdom, knowing that by doing that, we're not walking in judgment and not taking that judgment on our own lives. So we just honor you for that and continue to teach us, train us, and help us to walk uncomfortable lives, in Jesus' name.
Amen. That was a great prayer, Vince. Guys, thank you all for listening. Thank you for tuning in. We really appreciate you. We love having you here. Guys, we invite you guys to send your testimonies to us. You know, we would love to be able to even talk about testimonies on a future episode. Also, if you know someone who needs this show, if this ministered to you and you know someone else that would be touched by this show, send it to them. Share it with them. You know, we really are looking forward to hearing from you for your prayer requests. You can reach us at uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. You can also support us at the gift page there at the Moose Ministries page as well. Guys, God bless you. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you next time.
See y'all later.